You're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino, and it's time for The Sages Among Us. What makes a community great? Most importantly, it's the people who live and work there and who are engaged in community life. The Sages Among Us focuses on these people, what they do and why they do it, and celebrates the leadership, time, and energy they bring to making a positive difference for all of us.
Welcome to The Sages Among Us. I'm Lori Burkhart Frank, and I'm very pleased to introduce you to my guest tonight, Heather Thorpe, certified financial planner, community board member for many organizations, and longtime Nevada County residents. Heather, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And we've been looking forward to doing this for several months.
Yes.
So I've got so many questions for you. And I always like to ask people to give me a little background. So there's so much good stuff. I want to start with, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Nevada County?
No, I actually grew up in Maine. My childhood was spent in Maine. I lived in northern Maine. You can see the northern lights. That's how high I was. It's up by the Canadian border. I lived inland in a little town outside of Bangor. And then I also lived in Searsport. I would say my fondest memories are probably living on the coast, because Searsport is about mid-coast.
Wow, yeah. All of that sounds so good. And then at some point, you moved from Maine to California?
Yeah, my sister married a California man, and she was 15 years older than I was, and my mother missed her desperately. So around the time I was in the summer of my freshman year, we moved to California. We moved actually to Carmichael, a suburb outside of Sacramento, where my sister lived. And
So it was no small feat, because are you from a big family or a small family?
Well, there are five children in my family, but only two of us were at home at that time, because all of us were 5 years apart. I don't know how my mom did that unintentionally, but we were all 5 years apart, so we were kind of spread out. Yeah,
because that would be interesting to uproot everybody. But you still have people to visit in Maine?
Not so much anymore. My siblings have all moved west. My brother now lives in the Pacific Northwest. My sister lives in Oregon. I have a sister in Sacramento. So, yeah, we've all moved west since. And most of my family in Maine has, it was my older members of my family, they've passed away and everybody moved out. But they're on the East Coast. So we still visit them. Yeah, so on the East Coast.
So what did you most miss about Maine when you moved to California? Because it seems like such a different culture.
We can just say mildly culture shock as a freshman in high school moving from Maine to California. I had a Maine accent, which I promptly lost because it was probably not very cool. It was a big move for our family. But it was just a, and now I've lived my life in California, but I think Maine just always draws me back as being my home. But I've lived in California far longer than I've lived in Maine.
Well, what were some of your hobbies or an interest as a child or young adult?
Oh, gosh. One of the things that I put down living in Maine was beachcombing. We were all about collecting things from the beach. And you can imagine, if you live on the ocean, how much that accumulates. So even to this day, my children are washed glass or sea glass collectors. We have, and I know now they don't want you to do that because now people are collecting all the glass, but I have buckets of this glass that we've used for all different types of projects and fountains and that kind of thing. I love horseback riding. I never had a horse of my own. We moved a lot, but I've lived vicariously through my youngest daughter, who rides and is an extremely good horsewoman. And that was kind of things that I love to do. I just love to be in the ocean and at the ocean. That was my big thing as a kid. And when I moved to California, it was so different. I think it was in that teenage years, I enjoyed having community because I lived in a really small community and now I had this very large, moving to Carmichael was a big move for me. And now I lived in this larger place and going to San Francisco and just all that. It was just such a, I was like eyes wide open, deer in the headlights with that.
Well, did you have any special mentors as you grew up?
I did. One of the, when thinking about that question, I I had a couple of teachers. Isn't that funny, right? It's the teachers. I had a teacher in third grade. My brother had passed away. He was killed in a car accident when I was 10. And I had she was my third grade teacher, but she kept faithfully kept in contact with me when I moved from New York to Maine. And she was just such a huge support and a huge encouragement to me. It's huge impact.
Wow.
Another teacher.
That would have been a really devastating at any age. But how old were you, you said?
I was 10. My brother was 15.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a big impact for me and our family.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that teacher continued to just follow you. And
We kept in contact before that, but she made it a point to write to me and send me things. And so, and she did that up in, I mean, gosh, I would say we communicated, I was 10 and up through high school. And I just, and we, yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm not sure, but it just kind of, we lost contact.
Yeah.
But it was really important time in my life to have her.
Oh, I would.
Mrs. Miller, I'll never forget
Mrs.
her.
Miller, yes. Yeah, shout out to Mrs. Miller from Maine, right?
From Maine. And my grandmother was she was a very big influence on my life. The way she lived her life, the way she loved her family. Yeah.
And she's also from Maine.
She is, she's died at 102.
Wow.
She was a little Irish lady. This is my mother's Irish. My dad is British. And she stayed in the East Coast with my uncles. When everyone moved, she was still there. And she lived with my uncle until she passed away.
Yeah. Wow. Well, did you know what you wanted to do after high school when you went to college? Did you have an idea of what you wanted?
No, I didn't. I did everything from, I studied at Sac State, Sacramento State University, with my husband.
Did you meet him there?
I met him in high school.
Wow. So how soon after you moved from Maine to California did you meet him?
Probably 8 or 9 months. And I met him hanging out in the park, and he had this beat up VW with a little shark with a little baby stuck inside the shark's mouth hanging from his rearview mirror. And I thought, this guy is weird and quirky, and he's pretty cute, and he's a baseball player. So I don't know. Yeah. So I met him in high school. We got married when I was 20. So,
wow. So that must have made the transition to California even easier.
Yeah. Definitely.
So did you both go to Sacramento State?
Yeah, we both went to Sacramento State. I studied everything from women's studies. I did a lot. I probably could have minored in women's studies, but I just did it because I just enjoyed the classes and the curricula. Studied a lot of, took classes in psychology. So I really took the very, we were married and I was out of the house, but I took a very meandering route and worked in restaurants and kind of just, I didn't rush through college.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was supporting my husband as well. He finished with his accounting degree. He's a CPA. And then I sort of went more with more purpose after he graduated to get my degree. But I took advantage of having that opportunity. And it wasn't as expensive back then. And you could do that.
Yes.
You know, so,
And you have a family. You have children, you and your husband.
Yes.
You've been married, I think you said, almost 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years in June. And yes, I have a 22-year-old, my horsey girl. She is studying to be a nurse. My middle daughter, Mia, is working at Sierra College. She'd like to teach there. Hint, hint. I know there's some people listening. I think Karen the Dean might be listening. She's working at Sierra College, and she's getting her master's degree. And then my son is at Sacramento State. He is doing business finance with a financial planning concentration. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't put much pressure on him at all. I try not to. And so it's great. I love them. My husband and I waited about 11 years after we were married to have children.
Wow.
It was sort of one of those moments where I said, are we going to have children or not? You know, it was one of those. I hit 30, you know, that 30-year-old mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what finally brought you to Nevada County? Because you were living your life down in the Carmichael area, I guess, or or near Sac State.
We bought a house in that in Elk Grove when it was literally a brand. It was Laguna Creek. It was a brand new subdivision. There were still cows and chickens, and you could hear the roosters crow in the morning. But yeah, we moved it to Nevada County because my husband bought a CPA practice from a retiring CPA, and I was planning on working and staying at my job, which I loved on in Sacramento, but he was in a really severe car accident on Highway 49 and was in a trauma unit for 2 weeks. And
oh my.
He fully recovered, but we decided that that was not a commute that I should be doing every day. It was, you know, too dangerous at that point. So we, I found a great job in Nevada, in Grass Valley, and it worked out.
Yeah, some of your early jobs, you said that you did some waitressing. What was it that you were loving when you left Sacramento? What kind of job were you doing then?
Oh, I was working for a risk management firm. And so we were working with very large self-insured clients to do financial and risk management analysis and working with their risk managers. In fact, Durham Transportation was one of our, with Larry Durham, and that was one of our clients. They worked mostly with large transportation companies. But it was I got to travel a lot. It felt really jet setting. I had to take Larry Durham back to Manhattan to meet, you know, the insurance guy. So it was really fun as a, you know, at that time in my life. And I got to use my skills. I had started with Dean Witter as a intern and financial advisor and did not enjoy that particular firm, and then circled back later in life back to as a financial planner.
Yeah, because you are a certified financial planner mm-hmm. here in Grass Valley.
Yeah.
And so what led up to that?
Yeah, well, when I came to Nevada County, I started with a startup. It was Networked Insurance Agents at that time. They've since been purchased a few times, and it's now Amwins. But it's a large company, and they still operate locally. And some of the people that worked with me when it started are still there, which is so cool. But it's grown immensely since I left. And then I stayed home with my kids for a little while. Did some homeschooling, taught some homeschoolers. I taught English to homeschoolers, and then went back to work when my youngest went into high school. And at that point, I knew I wanted to become a certified financial planner because I knew that those skills were the most important for me to do financial planning, which is my passion.
Well, and I just recently started investigating in that area in my life, and there's a lot to becoming a certified financial planner.
If you do the coursework as it was originally intended, it's about 2 years.
Yeah,
they have a lot of accelerated programs, and I did an accelerated program because I just was eager to do it. So it was about 8 months of concentrated study. It was really intense to do that while working, but it was so worth it.
And then tests, and then hours, and then you have to.
It's a lot of hours, a final exam that's a proctored national exam. And then, we become certified.
Yeah, so how long have you been a certified financial planner here?
For the past, I've got it 3 years ago. 3 years ago,
I got my
certification.
And I understand from communicating with you ahead of time that your husband's also a certified financial planner now, too.
He is actually, it's so funny, he is not a certified financial planner, but he is studying right now.
Oh, and I missed that.
Yeah,
sorry.
It looked easy when I did it, right? Jim, he's probably listening. It didn't. I complained. But I locked myself away and just studied away. But he's actually studying now. He is a CPA. So I would say that much of his background being a CPA for over 25 years has exposed him to those areas. Obviously, he was a tax person. But estate planning, all of those aspects, all of the aspects that we study are a lot to do with what he did as an accountant, but it's a little different as a financial planner.
Yeah, and you guys actually work at different locations.
We work at different locations, different practices, separate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I found that to be really interesting. You're listening to The Sages Among Us on KVMR. I'm Lori Burkhart-Frank, and I'm talking to Heather Thorpe, certified financial planner, community board member for many organizations, and a longtime Nevada County resident. So the other thing I noticed is that you are studying, because it seems like you're a lifelong learner, Heather.
Yeah. I know, I actually put that. I'm a lifelong learner.
And you're studying for a Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy, a CAP. So what is that? It sounds really interesting to me, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, so it's a designation that can be both for financial people or financial planners, as well as for people that work in the nonprofit arena. But it's a course of study that will allow me to take a deeper dive in helping clients with their legacy plans, their giving plans, their charitable giving plans. It's looking at all the ramifications of that. How do we do this? What's the most tax efficient way to do this? And how do we just make the biggest impact with the wealth that they want to donate and what they want to give? So it's really helping clients set up a plan of giving. And doing it in a, and it's like I said, it's a deep dive in the logistics of that.
Yeah, I find that really interesting. And I'm sure there's a lot of nonprofit organizations that are appreciative of people like yourself mm-hmm. that really can help make sure that the folks that want to give to them can give in that way that's the most meaningful.
Yeah, and we have a lot. We have some wonderful estate planners in Nevada County as well that are, you know, they're doing it now. This is my way, my area, my arena of digging into that.
So, yeah. Well, so do you work primarily with individuals or with organizations?
My client base is really, it's individuals and families, but I do have a growing base of businesses and nonprofits. I really enjoy helping nonprofits. So I do, I am in by word of mouth and referral I've received, you know, I've been, you know, really honored to be able to help nonprofits in the community as well.
Yeah. And I do want to get into your nonprofit community work, but I just was wondering in terms of your financial planning, what's one thing that you wish more people or organizations understood or practiced in their financial planning?
Yeah, I think my, biggest concern, I think, with financial planning, people understanding, is that it's a process. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And I also would love to see education for younger people to understand how to prepare themselves to meet their goals, not just retirement goals, but all goals, buying a home, and even people wanting to leave a legacy or to meet those short-term and long-term goals. So I think that that's what it is. I think it's like it's a marathon, not a sprint. I think younger people think that it's going to be, you know, hitting it out of the park with that one great or two great investments, and it's probably not. Really, it's been proven that you really get to goals and retirement on a slow and steady and consistent path of saving and investing. And also, equity is important. It's important to build equity. I think that's another thing. Building equity in stock, building equity in property, building equity in a business. Equity, I think someone just told me a quote, so I don't know if this is right. I heard this, but I like it anyway, even if I'll make it mine, is that if you can't make money while you sleep, then you're not going to be able to retire. So it's basically building that equity so it's making money for you.
My grandmother used to always say, honey, you have to get your money working for you. You don't want to work for your money.
That's it. And that's the same thing. That's exactly right. And I think people understand that, but I think there's a thought process with, I don't want to, I think there's a, when we see some of the things that happen, we see people hitting it out of the park with a tech investment or whatever it is, that's what we're looking for. But really, it's that patient, slow, steady saving, consistency and discipline. That's what I think happens.
Well, that is great to hear and encourage all of us listening to that if we missed the deal on the big tech stock, we could just still go with our slow, steady planning.
Well,
I want to get into some of your community work because it's immense volume of work that you do. But we were talking off air a little bit about what first drew you to being of service to the community.
Yeah. So I think where my heart was touched is when I was 10 and we lived in Maine. We lived in the small coastal town in Searsport, Maine. my brother was killed in a car accident. He was 15, and he had been very unhappy living in Maine. We had come from New York, and he wasn't really happy about living in this little town in Maine, coming from just outside of New York City. So he had been kind of getting in with people and kind of actually running away. He had been running away. And well, one of the times he ran away, he was killed. They were running, driving at high speeds, and they ran into a wall on a curve. But the point of it was that he had a lot of friends. He was 15. He really was a person that was loved. I don't think get emotional. I don't think he realized how loved he was.
Yeah.
So, sorry. But the community embraced us in every way possible. And it was at a time where it was a very depressed time in Maine. And in Maine specifically, Maine has never been a state it's a struggle. Not a lot of industry. And my father had lost jobs because of recession. And there were just all these things that happened, like everything happened piled at once. And people in the community took every piece of that and just loved on us. So I saw that, and I thought, I want to be that person.
Yeah, because you were experiencing, because you had mentioned that your family did, they did volunteer. They did give, but...
Yeah, my mom was she was broken somewhat after but my father, I think my father saw that more, and he continued throughout his life. And he was really active with Meals on Wheels and with senior services before retirement. And then when he retired, he was super active in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is such, an experience to be on that receiving end.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think, sometimes way harder to receive than to give.
Yeah, because we can think about that. We can see pain or we can see need.
Yeah.
And we can think about it. And then, but if we act on our hearts and we have a call to action in our minds and our hearts, and we do that, it's just, I'm so blessed to see what we do and how we make an impact in this community. I couldn't have moved to a better community in terms of care, concern, love, compassion, action. I just don't think we could have moved anywhere better.
So it sounds like that experience, you know, really set a foundation for you. And that I'm just looking again at some of the I couldn't look at the entire list because it's so long, but it sounds like a lot of your community involvement was around activities your kids were in it initially, mm-hmm. the teaching when you were doing the homeschooling, mm-hmm. And then some other things with your kids.
Yeah, children's theater, super active in the Performing Arts Guild and PAG, which is no more, but I understand there's another children's theater group. Baseball. Ate, sleeped, breathed baseball. Working at a horse scout. Oh yeah. I was a scout. I was a scout leader, a Girl Scout leader. Team mom for everything. I loved it. And I loved, being in that role. I loved the camaraderie in that. And then, I worked for a horse rescue, and was on the board of a horse rescue in town. And so I just, like I said, I just put my feet where my heart was, and
I like that. I've never heard that statement, but put your feet where your heart is. I like it. That's great. And then you're on boards too, because
I
know you're very involved in Rotary.
I'm involved in Rotary. I'm the vice president on the Sierra Nevada Memorial Hospital Foundation board, but I'll be president coming in July. Dylan Hendricks is president now, doing a great job, big shoes to fill. I'm also in Soroptimus. I want to say hi to my Soroptimist sisters out there. I'm also I'm the recording secretary for Philanthropic Education Organization, which is another organization that is helping women and children. That's been in my heart a lot, is women, helping women and children in the community. I'm on the Fund Development Committee for Hospice of the Foothills. I try to participate in the Butterfly Garden event with my own clients. Clients who have had people pass in that year, I will sponsor them.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's been amazing. I so happy to do that. Dylan Hendricks and I also do a biannual workshop for the Alzheimer's Outreach Support Group. So we do a financial legal workshop. We do a coat drive in our office for child advocates. I still tutor when I can at Sierra College. I love to tutor. It's just time, you know. Usually it's sometimes at a bad time. It's right now. So, yeah, I think I hit everything.
Well, you put your heart where your feet are because, my gosh, you get around, Heather. I'm so glad we talked about your work first, because otherwise it'd be impossible to believe that you actually have a career, because you're, a paid career, because you are so involved in the community. So you must use every minute of every day. How do you do that balance?
As I mentioned to you, not always very well. I tend to not be able to say no very easily. Then I don't know. That's such a good thing. I think I can see beauty in all of this, and I can see what I can do. I know what my gifts are, and I can see applying those gifts. But I have to look at the year ahead in the end of the year. So last year I knew I was going to be doing, be president of the board for the foundation. And so I won't be in leadership positions with some of the organizations, but I'll still be the worker bee. I always call it, I'll be the worker bee. I'll show up and you tell me what to do, and I'll be glad to do it.
So I really do feel like what you're saying is very similar to what you said that we should all consider in our investment plans is that slow and steady. And I hear that in the way you do things, that you plan things out.
Yeah, I try to, and I really have to. And yeah, because I do have a very busy practice. I have to balance that. But I the beauty of my job is that I have flexibility. I get to set my schedule somewhat. And so I can be flexible, and I can do things at times during the week, and I can also be flexible with my family. So that's why I love that. Yeah, I get to have a practice that reflects me.
Yeah, so you're definitely very, very involved, and I do just love the feet and the heart.
Good. That was off the top of my head.
That's good. That's good. So we're coming up at the end of the show, and we always like to ask our guests to comment on, you are very involved in the community, and what could you see would benefit our community if you could have that magic wish, or if we could eliminate a problem, what you'd like to see change for the better?
Yeah, that was a great question. I know this is my short time, so I'm going to make this quick, but I do think this is important. We had the filming, the showing of Uncharitable. I don't know if you were able to see that.
I didn't, but I remember hearing about that.
Well, it had a big impact on me. And that TED Talk that Dan Pilota, you should watch the TED Talk, watch the film. It made me look at how I look at giving and how I look at nonprofits. And so what I would wish, if I could wish this for our community, is that everyone would consider and maybe watch the TED Talk or the movie and shift our thought about how we look at nonprofits, as Dan Pilota said, in sackcloth and ashes, and look at them being thriving, powerful vehicles for change and for betterment in the world. And I think it's a total shift of how we look at nonprofits and how they should be operated and how money should be spent and how we should give. We have to really look at our own giving and what we expect from that giving. And it really was powerful for me. I was absolutely changed by that.
Well, yeah, I'm getting tingles the whole time you're talking, so I think I'm going to have to watch that. So it's Uncharitable.
Uncharitable.
Okay.
Yeah. Dan Pilota. And there's a book, if you want to read the book as well. And there's a TED Talk, so lots of options.
Well, we've been talking to Heather Thorpe tonight, community volunteer with and certified financial planner. And thank you for joining us, Heather.
Thank you.
The purpose of this program is to inspire and invite people to participate in the betterment of our community. Discover how you can make a difference by tuning in on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Next Wednesday, join Sage's host, Kimberly Ewing. You've been listening to The Sages Among Us on KVMR. I'm Lori Burkhart-Frank. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for everything you do to make our community great.